Good evening and welcome to our service of Eucharist on this day that I trust has been a day of Sabbath for many. Welcome to our worship. Before we turn to our service, one goodbye to tend to that I know of. Michael is departing tomorrow. If we may send you off with a word of blessing. Anyone else planning on leaving that we don't know about? May we send you off with a word of prayer. As you go on your way, may God go with you. May God go before you to show you the way. May God go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen. And thank you for being a part of this community. I trust that you will find your way through our service tonight. It is very similar to last week. The most important thing, of course, to know is that at this table, all are welcome to share in the meal in which we celebrate. We will receive offering, a reminder that the basket is by the table outside, and that all which is given away to Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service in these times. Let's take a moment to collectively breathe together at the end of this day and to pause to center our hearts and our minds.
Opening hymn is number 715, 715. Let's stand to sing Christ Be Our Light.
Return to you. Make us your own, your holy people. the living God. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the living God. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the living God. For all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the living God. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious and steadfast God.
Blessed and gracious God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read them, mark them, learn them, and inwardly digest them, that comforted and challenged by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of abundant life here and now. Through your Son, Jesus. Amen.
A reading from Nehemiah. When the seventh month came, the people of Israel, being settled in their towns, all the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. Ezra read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday. In the presence of the men, and the woman, and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So the Levites read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, And the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then Ezra said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm tonight is Psalm 19. You'll find it in your red hymnal about a quarter to a third of the way from the front. You'll find page numbers in the bottom corners and then the psalm section. This is Psalm 19. We're going to read this responsively. Have the east side read the odd verses and the west side read the even verses. Psalm 19, 1-9. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork.
One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world, where God has pitched a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice in heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, and gives light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey and comb.
By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them, there is great reward.
Who can detect one's own offenses? Cleanse me from my secret faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound, and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
A reading from the 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one part, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the parts of the body, each one of them, just as God chose. If all were a single part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable parts are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable parts do not need this. But God has so arranged the body,
giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the parts may have the same care for one another. If one part suffers, all parts suffer together with it. If one part is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually parts of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the gospel acclamation, which is number 175. 175.
Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. The Lord has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A slipway, it's called. When a ship is built, it is often built in dry dock over this long ramp, a slipway it is called, or the ship is said to be on the ways being another name for the slipway. And when the time is right, either a mechanical switch is thrown or a device called a weak link, not like the weakest link of a chain, but an intentional device that has been holding the ship back. When the time is right, the weak link is cut, the ship is released, and in one great motion, the ship is launched into the waters to be finally what it was made to be. It's an image that may come to mind not only as we consider the context of the gospel this evening. Jesus is returning to Galilee, this region adjacent to the Sea of Galilee with its peasant fishing, sea, and ship-based economy. but it is an image which also may come to mind because the gospel this night, this little story from Luke, is sometimes called the launching of the public ministry of Jesus. You see, Jesus has been like a ship in dry dock. Jesus has been in the wilderness 40 days. But now, Jesus, unleashed, let go, filled by the power of the Spirit, sets out to be who and what Jesus was created to be. What is that? A teacher? A prophet? One in whom no less than the fullness of God was pleased to dwell? Jesus doesn't seem interested in answering these questions so much as he is caught up with a weak link of a different sort. The Spirit of the living God is upon me, Jesus says, reading from the book of Isaiah, because this Spirit has launched me into proclaiming good news to the poor, healing the broken in heart, some versions add, releasing the imprisoned, restoring sight to the blind, letting the oppressed go free, proclaiming the year of this living God's favor. When a ship is undergoing construction, it is said to be on the ways, but if the ship has been scrapped, if it's been given up for good to a ship graveyard, if there is no hope for the ship, that ship is said to be broken up on the waves. It seems that Jesus launches into being who Jesus was created to be by pointing specifically to the graveyard of ships, the graveyard of bodies that languish in dry dock, the ones who have been broken up in the ways, the broken down, the abandoned, those bound without hope or blind to new or creative possibilities. Jesus is launched into being who Jesus was created to be by cutting this weak link, releasing ones whom society has abandoned in the graveyard. Might it be the same for you and for me? Or put it this way, what is holding you back from being launched into being who you are created to be? What is the weak link stopping you from being unleashed into wholeness? Paul, in the second reading tonight, writes to a community in Corinth, telling them that their weak link as a community has to do with two things. First, they have to get over thinking of themselves as individual ships, as if they are launched independently from one another. You are one body, Paul says. You are bound together like a single ship with many parts, oh yes, with diversity that is vital, certainly, but one. If one suffers, all suffer. If one is recognized, all are recognized. As a song that I grew up singing around a campfire puts it, staying with the maritime metaphors, no one is an island. No one stands alone. Each one's joy is joy to me. Each one's grief is my own. We need one another. So I will defend each one as my neighbor, each one as my friend. And this nudges us into the second weak link that Paul wants to be cut, wants to let go of, wants to release in the community of Corinth. Simply put, Paul says it this way: the members of the body that seem to be weaker, these are the members that are indispensable. At Bible and Brew this week, every once in a while there's actually something good that comes from Bible and Brew besides the opportunity to have a beer. At Bible and Brew this week, we stumbled on a scholarly footnote, so it must be true. In the Lutheran Study Bible, so it must be doubly true, right? Which read, "It is surprising that Paul calls the church a body, since Greek and Roman political speeches ordinarily used this metaphor to encourage social unity based on hierarchy." Translated, with apologies for the pun, Paul turns the body metaphor right on its head. A body, a community, was supposedly diseased, unhealthy, so the thinking of the day went, if members didn't keep in their place. An empire, so ordered, with an emperor as the head and slaves, of course, as the blisters on the bottom of the feet. No, says Paul, tearing down an empire and building up a community with a single word. No, the weak link that is holding you back as a body, as a community, is the very tending to those who are broken up in the ways, those who are languishing in the graveyards of life. Oh, the Spirit of the living God is here in this place because this Spirit launches us into proclaiming good news to the poor, which is about so much more than buying a divine lottery ticket. It is healing to the broken in heart. It is release to the imprisoned. It is restoration of sight to the blind. It is letting the oppressed go free. It is announcing the year of Jubilee, where people, all people, get to start over, new, fresh, whole. The hymn that we will sing in just a moment was written in the late 1980s and was published in the late 90s in a book of hymns called Sing Justice, Do Justice. Isn't it a great title? Originally, the hymn had four verses, but when you turn in your Evangelical Lutheran worship book, you will see that only three verses made the cut, so to speak. William Whitla, the hymn writer, is, quote, not very keen on this move, viewing it as a cutting out of both the two incarnational and the two feminine images. Don't worry, the choir will unleash this verse. They will stitch it back in when we sing. But first listen to the words of Whitla about this hymn, which was written in a personal correspondence. I wrote the hymn in 1989, just after the events in Tiananmen Square, and when the mothers of the disappeared in Argentina were bringing their campaign to the conscience of the world. At the same time, the religious and racial disputes in Ireland, Israel, Palestine, the Congo, and other parts of Africa, and in Canada and many other countries over First Nation or Aboriginal rights, all seemed impossible to solve. Unfortunately, similar events are still replayed, and only two similar images in the Near East, Iraq, Afghanistan, and now Somalia, we might add now Syria. Not to mention the school shootings at home, we might add the current epidemic of shootings of unarmed black men in this country. These events recur and are now extended well beyond these earlier sad happenings. So I used images from those events, especially in the verse that was cut out, to tell of the bad news before the good news of the other verses. to me, concludes Wittla, all of these parts are needed for a full expression of the biblical promises of hope and justice so long awaited. Listen to the verse that was left out before you hear it sung. The dreaded disappearance of family and friend, the torture and the silence, the fear that knows no end, the mother with her candle, the child who holds a gun, the old one nursing hatred, all seek release to come. Each candle burns for freedom. Each light is a tyrant's fall. Each flower is placed for martyrs, gives tongue to silenced call. Brothers and sisters, may we, as we are gathered tonight in this dry dock of sorts, Holden Village, may we, as we are gathered tonight around words which unleash, may we, as we are gathered around a table of mercy that recognizes the necessity that all must be fed and nourished, may we, may this community, each and every member of it, but also this community as one body, may it be unleashed and released in order to unleash with hope and release with healing the broken down and broken in heart. May this community have its own sight restored in order that it may restore and spread a broader vision of peace and justice. May this community be bound up as one body in order to set free, to launch the power of the Spirit of the living God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
We sing together hymn 710. 710. We'll all sing verse 1, the choir will sing the missing verse, and we will all sing the final two verses. Let's stand.
Yeah.
gathered together by God's Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. God, source of life, help us see that all of creation is holy. May we never take for granted what a gift it is to be in this valley, with all of its complexities, remoteness, and uncertainties, and be grateful to those who have worked tirelessly on behalf of the village throughout our history. We thank you for the blessings of wilderness and community and our time here in this place. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, you have bestowed upon each of us a unique personality. Help us to find our place in the body of Christ, identifying our strengths and skills as well as how to use them both here at Holden and in the outside world. May we always strive to live and work constructively, engaging everyone's gifts as you have intended, and taking the lessons of living in community with us whenever and wherever we go. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of justice and peace, you sent your Son to change the world. May we live out the mission of his ministry on earth, working on behalf of the poor and oppressed. Open our eyes to what we can do in this world to make it a better place for all people and all of creation. We pray for radical love and courage to stand up to injustice like we see in the life of Jesus. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For what else do the people of God pray?
Jenny's home.
God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those subsumed by meanness and pettiness, God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thousands of refugees in war-torn Middle East. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all of your beloved for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Some readings about homecoming and talking about us all being a part of the same body. We see tonight a piece that has just been written by someone we sing a lot of here, by Marty Haugen. And it's a piece that he has dedicated to the refugee crisis. And he's made it available for congregations to use for free for the next couple months. And so it's called In These Times. And there will be a time for you to sing those words, In These Times. And it will be easy and obvious when you should do that.
Ones who have no home and all who mourn their dead.
God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your people be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
As we turn to the Great Thanksgiving, you might want to have hymn number 190 as well as your bulletin open to the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by a glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In your image, and with mercy higher than Buckskin Mountain and Copper Peak, with grace deeper than the seas, you blessed all people to cherish them as your own, so that we also might feast in your presence together as a beloved community made one by you. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, let us sing the mystery of faith together.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire and water. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. To you honor, to you glory, to you praise. And so let the people sing their amen.
Amen, 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 amen.
Gather. gathered as many into one, let us pray as Jesus taught us, using the language or the version most familiar to our hearts. Our Father,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God, now and forever.
Amen. See, the many are one. Come and be fed.
Thank you. Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you always in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, we thank you that you have brought us to the mountaintop and fed us with the life and light of your Son. Send us from this place to bring light into dark corners, healing where lives are torn, and nourishment to every hungry heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord.
Amen. Our sending hymn is number 709, 709.
Spirit, light revealer, bless you and give you peace. Amen.
Go in peace, share the good news.
Thanks be to God.